On Robin Hood Radio now, we're going to welcome in Joyce Lanier, who is the Community and Economic Development Director, the Northwest Hills Council of Governments. You folks out there might hear COG a lot. That's media speak for Council of Governments, because it's easier to say all the time than Council of Governments. And what we're going to be talking about today mainly is a topic that's been in the news. It's been in the newspaper. It's been on the radio. There's been letters to the editor. There's been interviews here from concerned citizens who are not necessarily against affordable housing, but of course they're against certain portions of these plans that come up. And Joycelyn, in her business of being the Community and Economic Development Director for the Council of Governments, is also involved in affordable housing projects in our immediate area other than Falls Village. So first of all, Joycelyn, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about your background, and for people that aren't aware what the Northwest Hills Council of Governments is and what exactly you do for them.
Sure. The Council of Governments here serves 21 towns, kind of roughly what you would think of as Litchfield County, but it doesn't really follow county lines. And we, our board of directors is the first selectman or mayor of our 21 towns, and we do land use planning, hazard mitigation planning, transportation planning, affordable housing and economic development work for our 21 towns.
And you've been involved, though, in affordable housing for a while. I mean, even before this, right?
Yeah, I mean, my first job was actually with Habitat for Humanity as a volunteer coordinator in AmeriCorps. That was quite a while ago. I won't say how long. and I have been here for 12 years now, working with communities on trying to create housing options for residents, and working with the Northwest Connecticut Regional Housing Council, which is made up of 14 local housing organizations from all over, you know, the small towns of Northwest Connecticut. So Litchfield, Kent, Sharon, Salisbury, Cornwall. They all have local volunteer nonprofit groups that are working on trying to create housing options in their towns. And so I've been working with them for the last 12 years. You know, basically we get together four times a year and really talk through, you know, what are the resources, what are the challenges, how do we move forward with creating these housing options in our towns.
All right.
And actually to date, those 14 local housing organizations have created 550 homes for rent in our small towns. That doesn't include, for example, Torrington or Winstead, which are in our area. And 66 affordable homeownership opportunities. So there's a lot of housing out there already in our towns that fit in, but there's also continues to be a need for more of those.
All right. We're speaking once again with Joyce Lanier, and our topic here is more directly the Falls Village Housing Trust. A while ago, they put forth a plan that was withdrawn, probably 6-7 years ago, at least on that. And that plan has come back in a much smaller development that has been presented and will be in front of the town and the Planning and Zoning Commission. And there has been some blowback with an interview we did on the radio, but also with letters to the editor. And so the Falls Village Housing Trust asked Joycelyn to come in and talk a little bit about their plan and incentive zones, housing zones. So I guess the first thing we can start off with, Joycelyn, is incentive housing zones. Were they designed for towns of all sizes? Has it been a successful venture since that has been created and gone into operation around the state?
So, yeah, incentive housing zones were enabled a while back, basically, they're intended to be a tool for any community of any size to use to really think proactively about where they would like housing, affordable housing, to go in their towns, and then zone it so that that can happen, and, you know, proactively zone the areas that they would like to see housing developed in. And it has been successfully used in many towns. This is a, you know, basically in any of our towns, because really none of our small towns meet the sort of
the set of statutes for the zone, not really requirements, but when they were initially set up.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm talking about 830G, which you know, if towns don't have 10% of their housing as affordable and deed restricted as affordable, then technically a developer could come in and purchase a property and disregard the zoning regulations. It wouldn't matter what the zoning regulations were as long as, you know, 20% of the units were affordable. So in this case, this is kind of the state's way of saying, instead of having this happen to you and having to react to it, how about we proactively look at what sites would be available in your town and that would be appropriate for housing development, and have you proactively zone them for that. So that's what the incentive housing zone is. And I was involved, it actually started in 2009, the incentive housing zone study for the town of Falls Village. And we looked at pretty extensively at six different sites in town to try to figure out which one could work. As you know, Falls Village doesn't have any sewer, so we needed to find a site that was large enough to accommodate on-site septic, and also, you know, where the soils could take a septic system, and that, you know, wasn't environmentally sensitive. So, anyway, we looked at a lot of sites, and really, this site is on Lime Rock Station Road, is the site that had the most was the most suitable of the ones that we looked at for housing. So in 2013, the Falls Village Planning and Zoning Commission did decide, so that was 4 years later, they did decide that that site made sense for housing, and, you know, it was adopted by the Planning and Zoning Commission through all the regular processes that a town has to go through to change its zoning regulations, including public hearings and public notice, and the incentive housing zone was approved by the Connecticut Department of Housing, again, because it's a special kind of zoning that is enabled by the state for this purpose. And the town also qualified for a zone adoption payment because they went ahead and adopted this kind of zoning.
Now, when you look at incentive zoning and incentive zoning and putting affordable housing in towns, this is a layperson's question, okay? Even though I'm in the media, I don't know as much as I should probably about affordable housing. When you look at towns and when you look at sites, do you also take into those calculations the number of people that might move in, what effect it might have on tax rates and things like that? And do you try to balance all that together when you come up with a plan?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, part of all of these studies is really doing a market and housing needs assessment in terms of, you know, what is the existing housing stock? What is the town, you know, missing? You know, most of our towns don't have much, if really any, rental housing to speak of. And most all of us at some time in our lives have wanted or needed to rent, you know, young professionals or, you know, seniors who want, you know, less property to take care of and someone else to mow the lawn. So we definitely take that into consideration. And all of the projects that I've had experience with in our small towns are really small-sized in the way that this, current River Road Homes proposal is. This is just a 2% increase, for example, in the number of homes in Falls Village. Will really not have any impact on the property taxes in town, for example. It will add to the taxable income for the town.
Well, that's another question I wanted to ask you. Even though they're a nonprofit, and from this is my understanding, I could be wrong, and that's why I'm going to ask you the question. Even though the Falls Village Housing Trust is a nonprofit, these homes they will bring tax dollars into the town as well.
Yeah. So, and again, in my experience, every town does this a little differently. It is up to the town to decide how they want to assess the value of the homes and how they want to tax them. Some towns have decided to basically not tax or have a lower assessed value on these homes just because they want to encourage the development of them and the sustainable kind of maintenance and operating costs for them. Other towns, haven't done that. So it is really up to the town in terms of how they want to look at the assessed value of the property and tax that.
All right. Now, there's a meeting coming up in Falls Village on this, right? Planning and zoning meeting?
There is a planning and zoning meeting. It's a public hearing for basically to determine whether the Falls Village Housing Trust application for River Road Homes meets the requirements of the incentive housing zone.
And the Planning and Zoning Commission locally is the one that decides that.
Yes.
All right. And when is this meeting taking place?
I believe, let me just look at my calendar. I think okay. It's the 23rd of September, and it will be via Zoom. It is not ideal. All of us know that it is not ideal that we have to now do public hearings via Zoom, but unfortunately, due to the pandemic, it's the best way to keep everyone safe and continue to be able to move forward with projects and initiatives.
Is there any way, a lot of towns in Massachusetts and some in Connecticut have taken important meetings and taken them outdoors and to allow more people to distance, to space out, and also hear better, because we all know that the limitations of Zoom is internet. I mean, if you have good internet service, Zoom works fine. If you don't, it doesn't work fine. And also, different people listen on different things. Some people on handheld phones, some on computers. Is there any possibility a meeting like that that could be found so where people could actually either attend it or else have it even streamed to like, a room at the high school where people could sit and then ask questions? I think that's one of the major things I see from some of the complaints that I see in the letter, is that they just don't think that a Zoom meeting its technology isn't perfect enough to have an important meeting like that.
Yeah. So it's a good question, and it's something that all of our towns are struggling with, and we are, trying to help advise in any way we can, including, reviewing all of the executive orders from the governor around, trying to keep everyone safe. And the tricky part about having an in-person meeting is that there will be people who just will not feel comfortable going to an in-person meeting no matter how many precautions you take. And so those people will be essentially left out, or, if you try to have a hybrid meeting, which many people have tried and or suggested, it's just very difficult to have people spaced out 6 feet apart, with masks on, and have people who are Zooming because they don't feel comfortable coming also be able to hear everything that's happening without, you know, with the kind of technology and staffing that our small towns have. You know, we just aren't equipped right now with the latest technologies and, you know, microphones and speakers and someone to manage the production of it and, you know, be able to take comments, for example, of people who didn't feel comfortable coming in person online, as well as take comments from people in person. So, again, I just, unfortunately, it's an imperfect tool, but it's kind of all we have right now. Again, just because of our, you know, limitations in small towns, balanced with this, you know, need to try to keep everyone safe during this time. So while I, you know, totally sympathize with folks who, you know, don't feel like this is the best forum, I, you know, agree it's not the best, but it's basically, it's just what we have right now. And again, if the pandemic was going to be over in a month or 2 months, then, you know, we could all just pause and wait for it to be over and, you know, then resume in-person meetings. But I don't think there's any way to know how long this is going to last and until there's a really a safe way for us to be getting together and having public hearings on anything.
Right. We're speaking with Joyce Lanier, and we're talking about the Falls Village Housing Trust, which is going in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission with their plan. Before we get on the air, we have about 5 minutes left. We were talking about some misunderstandings that the public might have, and I'm going to give you some opportunity now to talk about a few of those misunderstandings and try to clear them up a little bit.
Sure. I think there has been, again, some misunderstandings about how quickly this has happened. You know, again, this study of possible sites started in 2009. You know, 4 years later, the Planning and Zoning Commission adopted an incentive housing zone. In the meantime, there were many meetings open to the public and, you know, public hearings around that. So, you know, this has been really going on for a long time, and lots of opportunity for the public to be involved in the process. And again, we did study many, many sites. Could there possibly be other sites out there that could accommodate housing? Sure, and we would love to, you know, to explore those other opportunities. But it doesn't make sense to give up on this property, which has been, you know, studied, and you know they've done all of the, you know, stormwater engineering and the septic engineering, and so much work has gone into this specific site and making it ready for this over the last really 3-4 years. Five or six years that, you know, there's really no reason to give up on this specific site. And I guess the other thing is, you know, this it isn't uncommon for people to say who are opposed to a specific project, usually in their neighborhood, that they are not opposed to affordable housing in general, they're just opposed to this site. That is something we hear a lot in Northwest Connecticut. It happens, you know, at almost every time a local nonprofit group proposes housing. You know, it's very common to not want change in your neighborhood or in your town. And we hear a lot that, you know, we're not opposed to housing, we're just opposed to this site. And I think, you know, that argument only goes so far because, you know, there just aren't that many sites out there that are ready and that have been studied for 8 years. And, you know, we need to take advantage of every opportunity that we have. And this is a really great one. I guess those are kind of the main points. You know, the Falls Village Housing Trust Again, they are a terrific nonprofit organization of all volunteers. Nobody's paid. There is no staff on the Falls Village Housing Trust. And this is true, again, of many of our nonprofit organizations. And, again, they're just trying to do their best to create housing options in their town. They do have a great website. If anyone's interested, they can check it out. It talks about the property itself and the project and answers kind of frequently asked questions. Again, I think they've done a great job as volunteers to really bring this to their neighbors. And I know there's a lot of support for the project as well. They've been getting, there have been many letters of support received for the project. And I think, you know, they've done a lot to try to respond to concerns about the project, including, you know, I think the reduction in the size, and they've pushed the project back from the road. So they really have been responsive to the concerns that they have heard raised about the project. And I think the size that they're proposing now really makes sense in the town and in the neighborhood.
Well, once again, the Falls Village Housing Trust on the web is fallsvillagehousingtrust.org. There you get the mission statement, frequently asked questions, and then the proposal for River Road Homes and more. Joyce Lynn, thanks for taking a few minutes today and joining us, trying to clear up some of the misunderstandings and clarify the situation a little bit better before that planning and zoning meeting. I appreciate you joining us on the air today.
Thanks for having me.